Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to discontinue this work. Okay? Thank you very much. That takes us through the agenda item 3.
Now we are with item 4.
Yeah. Can I now invite you to start looking at agenda item 4? And I wish to invite Noriko Eseki to introduce the subject matter, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under agenda item number 4, we have two documents. One is INORM 06299A. The other one is 06299A, addendum 1. In the previous session of the executive committee, discussed and agreed to send a draft strategic plan for comment for further discussion at the current session of the executive committee. And in response to the circular letter contained the draft strategic plan, the secretariat received two comments. One is from European Community, the other one is the one observer organization. These two comments are contained in the INORM 06299A. And as agreed at the previous session of this executive committee, in May this year, the working group comprising chair of the commission and chairs of the commission had a meeting and to further elaborate the draft strategic plan. During the elaboration work by the working group, they have also taken into consideration the comment submitted and also they had an intensive discussion, in particular, look into the part 3 of the strategic plan. The part 3 had not been discussed by the last session of the executive committee, so the working group, in particular, endeavored to identify what kind of outcome measurable indicators should be utilized to monitor and manage all activities listed in part 3 of the strategic plan. The draft strategic plan devised by the working group is contained in the 09-9A addendum 1 as annex. And in part 3, the working group agreed that the two tables should be contained. The table 1 is an implementation of strategic plan. This is a checklist of the strategic plan activities to monitor the progress and achievement of the activities listed in part 2. The table 2 is a critical review of proposals for new work and monitoring progress of standard development. And the working group also agreed to put forward the 3 recommendations to this current session of the executive committee. 3 recommendations are listed in page 2 of the 06299A addendum 1. The first recommendation is that, as agreed by the 57th session of the executive committee, the revised strategic plan should be circulated to all coordinating committees for comments prior to the final adoption by the Commission 2007. The second one, the current format used by the Executive Committee for Critical Review should be replaced with the Table 2 in Part 3 of the draft strategy. The third recommendation is, as in-depth and effective implementation of critical review by utilizing this new table may require at least one more staff of the Codex Secretariat. The constraints of staff shortage in the Codex Secretariat and insufficient situation for the work of Codex has to be solved so as to facilitate the achievement of Strategic Plan 2008-2013. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Norieko, and I now wish to invite the vice chairs who met in the working group to see if there are any additional observations or comments. Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to bring to the attention of the Executive Committee the attempt that we made in Table 1 to, for the first time really, develop output measures or indicators that, however imperfect they may be, and some of them certainly are imperfect, give us at least some measure for ourselves of how well we are doing in our work towards achieving that we set for ourselves. And I just wish to emphasize that while I understand such goals, such measurable indicators have been discussed in the past, in years past, by the Commission and the Executive Committee, they've never actually been written down or really attempted before. This is really our first attempt to try to establish measurable indicators and hold ourselves to them. I believe we feel that that's important. We all are committed to making the work of this Commission as effective and efficient as possible, and holding ourselves to actual measurable indicators is an important aspect of that commitment. Having said this, I think we all recognize that there is a large measure of aspiration and of commitment to doing the best that we can while not being perfect. So we're trying to achieve something that I think we can all agree is good, and I hope that we can agree to work towards improvement and not stop because we haven't yet achieved perfection. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chairperson, for really drawing that to our attention, and it's a new dimension in our work, and I think we thought it's very important in our critical review process and standards management. If there are no comments from the vice chairs now, then I open it to the floor. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just for clarification, what table are you exactly speaking of, and where can we find it? Thank you.
If you look at page 14, yeah, that should be
taken. On the English and I don't know if French or Spanish.
I'm not sure of the other French or Spanish documents, but in the English one, it's on page 14. Table 1, implementation of a strategic plan. And the column she was referring to is column 5. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you. I now open it to the floor, and could we start looking at part 1? And if I go page by page, An observation on page 1 of part 1. Seeing none, then can we go to page 2? Or that would be page 4, rather, of the English.
So, Tabuit, maybe you could refer to the paragraph numbers instead of page numbers, because the French and Spanish-speaking colleagues.
Thank you. It has been drawn to... I've been advised by the secretariat I better go clause by clause, so that, I'm reading the English version so that we can also follow in the French and Spanish versions. So if I start with clause 1 to 3. Thank you very much. Then we go to clause 4 to 6. Clause 7 to 10. Seeing none, then can we go to clause 11 to 12, 14? Clause 11 to 14. Okay, 15 to 19. Vice Chairperson Wim.
Yes, after consultation with my fellow vice chairperson, Mr. Chairman, just for information, if we particularly look at goal 4, in the title, there you see some changes, and that we should keep that in mind, what we discussed last time, the Executive Committee, when we also had advice from the legal services, when we discussed issues like formal agreements with other international organizations, and that was seen as not appropriate. And following the discussion here, then we put in place the word intergovernmental. This time in May, then when we were working particularly on part 3, then we thought that it was not appropriate as Codex, the strategic vision, to limit our activities only to international intergovernmental organizations. And also we recalled what is in the current strategic planning, that Codex cannot and should not work in isolation, and that we should really have the windows open to the world, which means international intergovernmental organizations, but also international non-intergovernmental organizations. And for that reason, Mr. We deleted that particular word in the title. We did not change that much the paragraphs 15 and 16, slight modifications. I guess it is good that we bring this to your attention, because we changed it last time and we deleted it again. But the spirit is that Codex also given its mandate that we should look to the activities of other relevant international organizations, both intergovernmental and non-governmental, that we retain that spirit, but that in the implementation we, of course, can, as we have different rules and procedures in the Green Booklet, that with intergovernmental organizations we certainly wish to cooperate in a slightly different way than with the non-intergovernmental one. But just to bring to your attention, because otherwise we may be rocking back and forth, but this is the explanation why we crossed it out again and have in the strategic vision a broad scope vis-à-vis cooperation with other international organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Wim, and I can confirm it was discussed in the working group, and also we did look at the purpose of the Codex as given in Article 1B, promoting coordination of all food standards work undertaken by international governmental and non-governmental organizations. So it's also provided for in the status of the Commission, of the Codex, right? Vice Chair Othman, Noreen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'd just like to add just one additional point to what Vice Chair Vanek has mentioned, and you, Mr. Chairman, just that what triggered us during the course of discussion when we were doing the work, we realized that we were on part two, goal four. We were looking at activities 4.1, 4.2, and 4.3, and this was talking to, this relates to activities of other international standard setting bodies. So because of that, we thought that was inconsistent and it doesn't do justice to maintain the previous title because the scope goes beyond that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Vice Chairperson, for that clarification again. So we are on clauses 15 to 19. And that brings us to the end of part one. I wish to invite you to start looking at part two. And we go goal by goal. Goal one, promoting sound regulatory framework. Any observations, comments under goal one? Seeing none, thank you very much. Can we go to goal number two now? Promoting widest and consistent application of scientific principles and risk analysis. Seeing no flag, can we now go to goal three? Strengthening Codex work management capabilities. Okay, thank you. Can we look at goal number four now, promoting cooperation between Codex and other relevant international organizations? And again, the title is coming from the explanation now given by the two vice chairs. Thank you very much. Can we look at goal five now, promoting maximum and effective participation of members? Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of part two. I wish to invite you to start looking at part three, implementation of strategic plan, table one.
India,
please.
Thank you, sir. This, I'm actually still at part two. I was just looking at goal four. Would the vice chairs indicate whether 4.4, where we refer to international intergovernmental organizations, that's been thought through? Because is what I'm asking.
This was also considered, and we did think specifically of these two international organizations mentioned, OIE and IPPC, and as you all know, they have special mention in the WTO agreement, and this is not an oversight, but we left it there purposely. Vice Chair Karen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the delegate from India for bringing out this point. In fact, this was, if I could add to the comments of my two colleagues, really the third reason why the change was made to delete the term intergovernmental previously in the draft. And that is because when we discussed this issue at the previous executive committee meeting, legal counsel pointed out to us that it is not possible for Codex to develop formal legal agreements with, for example, OIE. That led to the change in the text previously that really inserted intergovernmental where it shouldn't be. Here it needs to be, because in this item we're talking about, we're putting ourselves, a goal for ourselves, to strive to find the most effective means possible in the absence of formal legal agreements to work effectively with international intergovernmental organizations. We acknowledge that formal legal agreements aren't possible, if that's what legal counsel advises us, but yet we acknowledge we need to find the best possible way to work in the most fully cooperative manner with these organizations. That's what the agenda, that's what this activity is describing or is intended to describe. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chair Othman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to add further to what my colleague Vice Chair Karen has mentioned. Just to clarify further, there was no change in the text in 4.4 since the last executive committee meeting, but just to add further that in response to comments made by EC, that relates to Goal 4, we have inserted the words in particular OIE and IPPC in view that these are two organizations that have special emphasis under the WTO-SPS agreement, and also to be consistent with the guidelines on corporate acts and international intergovernmental organizations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I think that clarifies the situation in India. Can I then ask if there are any comments on Table 1, Part 3? WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was just under 1.5. It's about the potential ad hoc intergovernmental task force on antimicrobials. I think it's a very good idea with these measurable indicators or output. But the output here seems to be maybe a little bit weak. It says guidance for safe and prudent non-human antimicrobial usage for containment of resistance, which is what actually is already in existence. We have both prudent use guidelines from WHO and from OIE. So I was thinking whether it would be possible to put something maybe more, a little bit more proactive in there. You know, it doesn't seem very strategic to say that we need to develop some guidance that we already have. So should it be more something like guidance to enable preventative efforts to contain resistance to critically important antimicrobials or something like that? I mean, do we really think it's good enough to just say that 5 years from now we would like to have some guidance for prudent use, when we already have guidance for prudent use? That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. Could you repeat your suggestion?
I can suggest that if the committee would like to pursue that. My suggestion was guidance to enable preventative efforts to contain resistance to critically important antimicrobials in foodborne microorganisms. But, I mean, this wording would have to be then further discussed, I'm sure, and it depends on the scope of the task force. It's just not to remain with a very weak statement that we just want prudent use guidance that we already, in effect, have.
I didn't get it. It was too quick.
Could you repeat again, please, for the interest of...
At the dictation speed.
Yeah. Guidance to enable preventive efforts to contain resistance to critically important antimicrobials in foodborne microorganisms. And maybe it could say in a to be modified pending agreed scope of the task force or something like that. Because it is preempting what the task force will be doing. Thank you.
Got it?
Yes. Yes, can I?
Secretary, please.
Let me read out again, once again, the proposed text from WHO. And this text would replace what you can find in the fifth column in 1.5. Guidance to enable preventive efforts to contain resistance to critically important antimicrobials in foodborne microorganisms. And open the bracket, pending the agreed scope of the proposed task force. And close the bracket. Thank you.
Right. That's fine. Okay. An objection to WHO suggestion? Canada, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While not necessarily objecting to the proposal, noting that the task force has not had the opportunity to set up its terms of reference, perhaps we should make the, instead of replacing the table, perhaps making the note there that it would be further, it would be amended following discussion by the, or upon the terms of reference being prepared and the scope being identified by the task force. Certainly what's been identified by Dr. Schlant would be a very useful output, but without predicting what the task force may come up with, they may have other objectives identified as well to be included in that. So perhaps let's not limit them, but make the reference to the fact that the task force would indeed perhaps help us identify that output.
Thank you, Canada, but I thought WHO came up with a new proposal for the fact that there already exists guidance for safe and prudent non-human antimicrobial usage for containment of resistance by WHO and by OIE. So this was saying something which is already in existence. Canada?
Okay. Yes, perhaps to clarify, I'm not
we're not disagreeing that that there is other guidance out there, but rather than specify to the working group, suggesting that we do leave it open in this document to be provided by the working group. What has been proposed, I think, is a useful output, but there could be other outputs identified by the task force itself when it has its considerations.
Okay, so what we are really proposing is in this cell we leave it blank and no, just by just saying to be defined by the task force, or as would be the terms of reference of the task force. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we understand the Canadian comments, we think the text as proposed under 1.5 should be kept as is, but the report of the Executive Committee should reflect the specific that the WHO representative has made as a basis for consideration by the CAC in the course of its discussions on this issue or under this agenda item. And we would certainly be supportive of that. I think, like Canada has commented, we also believe that the things that have come out from WHO do, in fact, make sense. But it could be considered as part of other suggestions for the work of the proposed task force on antimicrobials. So that's the way, and we could certainly go along with that sort of suggestion. Thank you.
So with the information added in brackets, pending agreed scope of the task force, wouldn't that serve the purpose? Because the recommendation by WHO is there, but we have added this, brackets saying that will depend on the scope that will be agreed by the terms of, by the task force.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that one consideration that we should all consider as we ponder what words might fit in this little box is that even after the task force terms of reference are defined, I think there's no intention to list all of the aspects of the task force work in this box, but just to give a very general sense of the goal of the Codex Alimentarius Commission in working towards improving the state of antimicrobial resistance with respect to foods. So the language is intended to generally describe what our goal is. It doesn't and perhaps shouldn't be highly specific at this point in time or even after the terms of reference are defined. I think that ought to be our highest goal rather than to try to in some way spend a great deal of time wordsmithing what specific words appear in this box. But that we understand that the goal is to achieve this, the output of improvement with respect to resistance as it may be transmitted through food. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And now we have to agree. I mean, okay, the first wording that was in our box, we agree it's overtaken by the fact that documents exist, right? So the first proposal, the earlier proposal in the document is deleted, okay? And then we look at the proposal by WHO. Vice Chairperson, Wim?
To add on what has been said by Karen Hulebach and also following the New Zealand and Canada, Mr. Chairman, we have also to fill in the second last box in this table is advised by the Executive Committee. And I take the point made by the representative of the World Health Organization by saying this is an important task force, it is a highly relevant issue, and we should really try to be ambitious. At the same time, we are still working on the difference, and particularly the scope of the working group. So there's something hanging in the air. However, so in that regard, to maybe quite pragmatic, then we can leave the text here on the table as it is. That is, as said by Karen, a very general view. We don't want to go into specifics, also not very prescriptive. However, if it then says in the second last column, advised by the Executive Committee, there precisely is in the report of this meeting a few paragraphs, started by Dr. Schlund, by saying important, and we should really have, we have already existing guidance, and we should go one step further. But that best can be discussed and agreed when we discuss the terms of reference and when the task force, they should really decide what they can achieve within this 4-year period of time. If that is reflected by advising the Executive Committee, see paragraph XYZ in the 2006 report of the Executive Committee, then I guess we have the advice with all the elements of ambition, the link with the ad hoc task force that has still to be established and steps to move forward. And that will save time to pencil in the appropriate wording here in the fifth column. So if we have the discussion and the spirit where I think we agree reflected in the report, then we can leave it as it is and pencil in advice by Executive Committee a reference to this year's report with the relevant paragraphs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim, but if we take the observation from WHO, I mean, we already have guidance by WHO and OIE. So leaving it there, it means we are asking for something which has already been done. So the issue would be, why do we have it as an activity at all? Then the other dimension he brought in is to explain precisely what we need to do under this activity. And hence the proposal he gave. Vice Chair Person Hoffman?
Mr. Chairperson, I'd just like to bring the attention of this committee. We are looking actually part 3, and we're looking at 1.5, but if you realize 1.5 comes actually from part 2, activity 1.5, where all the details are laid down there. So I'm wondering whatever decision that we made, we're going to take, maybe it might be more appropriate to reflect if there's going to be any changes there. Otherwise, we should leave it as it is. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe I invite WHO to look at part 2.15 and see whether you might revisit the suggestion. In the meantime, we listen to Canada, please.
Yes, as noted by Vice Chair Van Ack and as proposed by New Zealand, we would like to support retaining the text as it is now in this document, since it has already been circulated for comment, but include in the report of the Executive Committee the discussion that was held here today, including the proposal by the representative from the WHO Secretariat. That way, there's a very clear indication that this was a topic of discussion and that there are some expectations without necessarily changing this document at this point, understanding that the working group will contribute to that.
Yeah, I agree to the suggestion as laid out by Canada and by the vice chairpersons. I still want to maintain that we are discussing this document, and the reason to discuss a document is to rectify things that would not make sense. So we would still maintain that it doesn't make sense to say that we will use 5 years in Codex to do something that is already there. But I'm totally okay with putting comments under advice by exec. I would have thought that the best thing would be to take out the wording in the box, output measurable indicators, and maybe just put in brackets there, pending advice from the task force.
But if the committee feels that it's very important to maintain the words that have been in there to avoid any confusion, then we are also okay with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Cho. And my concern was precisely that we are talking of output measurable indicators. And here we have information about those measurable indicators outputs being available. So the logical question would have to do this activity. And as the discussion has gone on in the room, it means we need this activity. And since WHO is comfortable, and I think we retain what is here, and put the discussion in our executive committee report. Okay? Right. Any other observation? The other... FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's on point 1.6. Explore innovative risk management frameworks. It indicates here only CCRVDF and CCPR as the committee is concerned with this work. Now, if you look at the part 2, and the language of part 2 seems to be much more general to other committees, and I wonder why it was limited to only these two committees. In 1.6 it says part 2, explore innovative risk management frameworks to address gaps in the existing codex standards, guidelines and recommendations, which cover all risks involved, not just from pesticides residues or veterinary drug residues, but also, for instance, toxins and aflatoxins in particular. There are a lot of work that has been done on risk management to reduce aflatoxin contamination or mycotoxin contamination of foods and things of this sort. I think one should not limit to these two committees, but make it cover other committees that may be concerned. Like, say, an existing relevant codex committees without limiting it to only these two.
Thank you, FAO. And it's very true. I mean, it's true. There are other committees that can be responsible. And maybe I would propose we include the words "and any other relevant committee." I think those words will take care of question by FAO.
Perhaps we can hear from the Vice Chair. She may have something in mind that is okay. More specific.
I see the Vice Chairs are consulting.
Yes.
Vice Chair Curry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were consulting among ourselves, refreshing our memories, that as we discussed this particular activity, we pointed to CCRVDF and CCPR because they are now undertaking such work. We certainly never intended this activity to be restricted to those two committees. And in fact, I think we imply this with our use of the term example, develop guidance on residues of veterinary drugs, etc., as you read in part 2, 1.6. So the intent is not to restrict, but rather to encourage broadly development of innovative frameworks. But as CCRVDF and PR have begun this activity, to hold them and expect to see outputs from them. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Sure. FAO, please.
I think the activity should...
Microphone.
Sorry. the activity should be perhaps a little bit more precise in this case, like explore innovative risk management frameworks, and then for the in relation to residues of veterinary drugs without ADI MRLs. In this case, it does concern these two committees only.
Yeah, but the intention was to cover both ADI and MRLs. Yeah. What's your Karen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposal then, if I understand the representative from FAO, would be to restrict this activity to the work that will be undertaken by these two committees, which places a choice before the executive committee should this activity be more specific and restricted to two committees or broader. This is going to require some discussion then. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can I hear from the rest of the committee members? Should we restrict to activities done by the two committees, or should we make it broader? Canada, please.
I believe when this was first put into the strategic plan, it was the result of discussion on some very specific initiatives through these two committees. And as a result, it's important that it's included in the plan with some expectations and timelines identified with that. Certainly, we would not want to inhibit any innovation by the other committees or full consideration by other committees, but we would have very specific expectations for these two groups. So would suggest that we do limit it, but whether we could also add, as a result of the discussion today, that other committees may have initiatives that could be considered. But I think at this point it was the two initiatives that we were mainly considering at the time.
No, we modified the text to limit ourselves to the two committees. Okay? We are being very specific to CCRDF DEF and CPR. But the examples we have given then should not be limited to residues of veterinary drugs residues. So we also need to modify in 1.6 of part 2 and 1.6 of part 3. Okay?
In which way? We need the text.
Yeah, we need to modify. Sorry, Vice Chair Karen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The text as it is currently written in Part 2, 1.6, and in Part 3, Table 1, really, I think, achieves both the goals of the point made by the representative of FAO and the intervention from Canada. If it's in terms that, which in fact it does not restrict any other committee from undertaking innovative risk management activities, but it clearly establishes expectations with time for the two committees named. So in the interest of efficiency, I would suggest that we leave the text as it's written, which really does, I think, achieve the concerns of both of these interventions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair. But we need to, therefore, if we also include PRR, to include pesticide residues instead of limiting our example to veterinary drug residues. And that would have meant that somehow we are very specific to the two committees, but again, we are also open for any innovative procedures. Vice Chair Wim?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's quite interesting to broaden or to narrow it. Let's add soon a little bit of history. I guess that if you look at the cases in front of us, that both in CCRVDF and CCPR, both committees have struggled with, let's say, risk management frameworks in establishing MRLs for pesticides and veterinary drugs. And for the veterinary drugs, that is the issue on how to deal with drugs where there is not yet or no ADI established, which is really a problem. But the expert consultation a few years ago in Bangkok was quite useful, and the CCRVDF took that on board. Likewise, in the CCPR, there was a need to speed up the work, and that was the reason that the committee started to work on interim MRLs and the like. And that was precisely the reason that in the previous draft of the document we had a specific reference to the veterinary drugs vis-a-vis how to deal with compounds where you don't have an ADI, and for the CCPR with their business on interim MRL setting. Both cases have something to do with management in the MRL setting, and it also, the bottom line is to remain relevant as CODEX committees. Now, in the meantime, the CCPR has agreed to abandon the interim MRL setting and has agreed upon to make better use and in a more expeditious way of the proposals from the JMPR and to advance them to step 8 in those cases that there are no intake concerns. So if that is, this is still, let's say, that's the explanation. And there's a little bit of confusion, and that also what has been said by the representative FAO, where you say, hey, there's here in the text on 1.6 on page 9 in the English version, to address gaps in existing codex standards, guidance, and rest, then you can identify it as wide as the world. But then you are moving away from risk management framework. So maybe if we wish to limit ourselves to the pesticides and the fed drugs and to focus on risk management frameworks, then maybe, as a way out, I could propose the following, and that is a change in the wording in Goal 1.1.6, explore innovative risk management frameworks, and then the description could be explore innovative risk management frameworks in establishing MRLs for residues of veterinary drugs and pesticide residues, and delete the wording to address gaps in the existing codex standards, guidelines, and recommendations, and to say explore innovative risk management frameworks in establishing MRLs for veterinary drugs and pesticide residues and share the results of new approaches among codex committees. Full stop. Then I guess that we capture the very meaning, that we keep it restricted, etc. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I as a din is happy.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim. And Morocco, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je pense que nous sommes en train de parler de discuter de la planification stratégique, et pour moi, il est tout à fait de bon sens, au contraire, de s'ouvrir, et que, comme l'a précisé le représentant de l'IFAO, la gestion des risques, même si historiquement ce sont ces deux comités qui pourraient être les plus concernés, de profiter de cette occasion pour dire que la gestion des risques peut concerner, cette activité peut concerner d'autres comités. Et moi, je ne vois pas en quoi ça diminue de l'importance de ces deux comités par rapport à cette activité si on ajoute que d'autres comités pertinents, comme vous l'avez proposé, Monsieur le Président, pourraient être concernés à l'avenir. Moi, je crois qu'on pourrait accorder plus d'importance et plus d'intérêt, une priorité pour ces deux comités qui sont les plus concernés, qui pourraient être les plus concernés. Mais je pense qu'il faut penser que nous sommes en train de planifier pour l'avenir et qu'il faut s'ouvrir et laisser la porte ouverte pour d'autres comités qui pourraient être concernés à l'avenir. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Morocco. Then could we adopt the proposal from Vice Chair Wim and let's note the observation by Morocco and from the rest of the members in our executive report? Okay. I think there is a general agreement. We note the observation by Morocco and we adopt the proposal by Vice Chair Wim. And Vice Chair Wim, if you could repeat it for the Secretary, note it, please.
Let's see whether I can remember what I have said. So then, in goal 1.6, in the description box, explore innovative management frameworks in establishing MRLs for residues of veterinary drugs and pesticide residues, and share the results of new approaches among Codex committees. Full stop. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very, very much, Vice Chair. I think that will be our modification of what is in the text, in the box, both in part 2 of 1.6 and part 2 in 1.6 again. Okay?
And no change in part 3.
Sorry, there's no need to change in part 3 because we are now restrictive as we have proposed. We are now limiting ourselves to the two committees, Veterinary Drug Residues and Pesticide Residues Committee. Okay? Thank you. So, observation on table 1 of part 3. Seeing none, go to table 2. That's critical review of proposals for new work and monitoring progress of government. And this is the new table that would replace what we had agreed. Any comments on this? Seeing none, then we agree with that one. Can I take you back to the document? And I want us to look at clause 4. There are 4 recommendations which were made by the working group, and I wish to seek the concurrence of the committee. Any objections on recommendation 1? Bullet 1? 4, bullet 1. That this document should be circulated to the coordinating committees for comments prior to the final adoption by the Commission in 2007. Seeing no objection, then we agree. Can we look at bullet 2, please? That we replace the current critical review table with table 2 in part 3. No objection, then can you look at bullet 3? This is what I also tried to mention to the two parent organizations in the opening statement in the morning. Seeing no flag, then we therefore agree to adopt the criteria as the proposed draft strategic plan as amended in the different sections we have amended, and this will be attached to our report. And we shall recommend to the Commission to invite the coordinating committees to review the draft plan at its forthcoming sessions. And of course, for this purpose, a circular letter will be sent to each committee session. Is there an objection to the proposal? Seeing none, then the report, this strategic plan as amended will be attached to our report, and we shall also propose the way forward to the Commission in that they will seek comments from the coordinating committees. So that brings us to the end of our agenda item 4, and I really wish to thank everybody for making my life a bit easy and comfortable somehow. And I wish to now adjourn the session, and tomorrow we resume at 9:30, and we start with agenda item 5. Thank you very much, and see you all tomorrow at 9:30.